Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I'm going to read you a verse out of Deuteronomy. You was probably just reading Deuteronomy before you came in here, weren't you? I'm going to read you Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. It says, "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the works of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as He took delight in your fathers." Holy Spirit, help me today, and you know what you want to say. Just help me not mess it up too much. In Jesus' name. How many, many of you remember the story of Midas, King Midas, and the Midas, the golden touch? King Midas prayed that everything he touched would turn to gold. And so he wished that. This is not a true story. he wished that everything he touched would turn to gold, and his wish came true. And he touched his food, and it turned to gold. And he touched the trees in his garden, and they turned to gold. And he touched the palace, and it turned to gold. And then he hugged his daughter, who he loved very much, and she turned into a gold statue. I guess maybe we better be careful what we wish for, huh? But you know, God's promised to bless and prosper everything we touch. Only the thing with God is there's not all those side effects. And I just kind of want to talk about that for just a minute or two here this morning. But, you know, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless everything you touch. He said He'll command blessings on what you touch. I want to share just a couple more scriptures with you. But in Deuteronomy 28, he said, "The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouse and in all which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Aren't you glad you got a God that wants to bless you? Wants to touch your life, and that's what I want for you today. Is I want whatever area in your life that you need a touch from Him, I believe He's doing that right now. In Deuteronomy 15, it says this. He says, "You shall surely give to Him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to Him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to." And Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore, solemnly promised to your fathers as it is this day." I guess one of the hardest things for us as believers to really get the concept of is how much God loves us and how much He wants to bless us. I want to deal today with just a theology that I see creeping in to a lot of Christianity, a lot of believers. But the fact is God wants to bless everything you touch. So you ought to touch something. You ought to start touching things. He wants to bless every endeavor you go after. He wants to be big in your life. He wants to do things, I call it the wow effect. And I've said this a lot when my boys were little. I used to love to give them a gifts, and I used to love to give them something that would just make them go, wow. And, you know, Jesus said, if we, being natural, know how to give our children good things, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to bless us, give us good things? And you know, the Bible tells us everything Jesus touched was blessed. One time he touched a couple of blind people and their eyes were open. One time he was walking and a grave was going by, and a widow, her son was in the casket dead, and Jesus touched him and he raised up and started talking. One time there was a leper and Jesus touched him and he was made whole. Now in the Old Testament, a leper, you couldn't touch a leper. You couldn't even get close to them because they were considered unclean. And if you touched them, you would be unclean. But Jesus touched the unclean and made it clean. Huh? That's what he did to me. That's what he did to you. And if he hasn't yet, that's what he wants to do to you. And I pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know this Jesus we've been talking about as your personal Lord and Savior, that you won't let this day pass without it, without doing it. You know, it's real simple. You just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to live it for you. And if you say that, something happens inside of you. It's not difficult. It's not hard. We try to do all kinds of things to earn it, don't we? We try to do all kinds of things to make it happen and to be good enough and all that. And I just learned that I can't ever be good enough. The harder I try, the worse it seems I get. I no matter how hard I try to work for it, for God's goodness and work for His blessing, no matter how hard I work, it always, at the end of the day, I just always feel, gosh, I wish I'd have done more. You know, it never seems to be enough, does it? But the goodness of God is, it's grace. Amen. And He just touches our lives and gives it to us, not because we deserve it, but because He wanted us. Amen. I don't know, that's pretty good. I'm glad He wanted me. How about you?
Yes.
But everyone Jesus touched received a blessing, and he touched the bread and the fish and multiplied it, and he just everything he touched was blessed. And I couldn't help but think when we were doing communion a while ago, those hands that blessed everything that was touched with them, he took those nails in those hands and was nailed to a tree for us, so that God, through His presence, through His Holy Spirit, and all of us could bless everything that we touch. Isn't He good?
Amen.
Isn't He good? I appreciate Him. And you know, I guess, again, the hardest thing for us to begin to realize and really to understand is the fact that God loves us anyway. He loves us in spite of. I just want this concept to get into your mind that He wants to bless everything you touch. Now that's more than just, you know, touching, but it surely includes everything you touch. He said, man, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And you know, but it's every endeavor, it's everything that I set my mind to, it's everything that I you know that He shows me and I begin to go after, and he blesses it. I see something, a theology that has creeped in. I may know Paul said, and I've said this scripture several times lately, but Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he told the Corinthian church, he said, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Amen. How did he deceive Eve? He deceived Eve in her thinking. He got her to believe something different than what God said. I see something that has drifted in, and it, you know, the best, the easiest way to describe it is, you know, if the enemy just tells us a lie, an untruth, we will back away from it. We won't do it. You know, we'll say, but when he slips in a half-truth, something that sounds good and it sounds okay and it feels okay, we seem to have more of a tendency to go for it. What I see is, if we're not careful, we become passive, complacent, and even lethargic in our faith and with our faith. It's easy for him to trick us and get us to thinking. And you know, I'm talking about ideas like, well, it must not have been God's will. Something bad happens and we go, well, you know, God must have let this happen for a reason. You know, we think things like, well, I tried that and I guess that isn't really what God meant. But you know, God's pretty definite. He's pretty solid about His will. There's not a lot of question. He's given us His will. And then He's put His Holy Spirit inside us to help us learn and understand that. I just see it's easy. What we do is we have a tendency to not take an active, dominant part in the things of our life. We passively become satisfied. It's easier. I'm just going to say this: we just get lazy with our faith. How many know it's easier just to accept what happens than it is to resist? We pray, and we pray like, God, if it's your will, and we pray, God, you know, we pray with a question in there, and you know, God's, it's not that difficult to find out what God says. It's not that difficult to find out what He means, and I've noticed. Well, every week I notice some of these things and different ones, and I've even caught them in myself. How many don't have to raise your hand, but how many ever said, you know, Lord, I just need you to get the devil off of me, and Lord, I need you to get the enemy out of my finances. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to heal me. I'm asking you, Lord, to just get the enemy out of my affairs. You know, the truth is, Jesus gave us the authority to do that. We're asking Him to do something that He's already taken care of. And if we're not careful, our faith becomes just so matter of fact, and so it feels like faith and it looks like faith, but it has no corresponding action to it. It has no works with it. James said that faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. He went on to say, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. You see, if we don't have some action to us, then the things we're believing for, we're gonna go, and hey, when we die, we'll go to heaven. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you'll go to heaven. But we're going to die, go through this life, and go to heaven, and never receive, never live in the place that God's got for us to live. Never receive the things that He has for us. You know, faith isn't hoping. Faith isn't putting up with. Faith isn't enduring. See, the true sign of faith, the true sign isn't the fact of how much you've been through and how you made it through. I mean, we know that we don't make it through anything without the Lord. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but faith is, it's not enduring. It's not, oh, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what the enemy's been doing to me. You don't know. That's not the sign of faith. The faith is those things in life that we have victory over. 1 John 5:4 says, he says this, he says, it's not what you went through, it's what you got victory over. He said, whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. Faith in what He did. And you know, the natural mind doesn't comprehend this. And what we try to do is we try to what sounds good. And because, you know, I caught myself and I still catch myself, but because of something we've been through, then we adjust our faith and hoping that things will change. But you know, the truth is we just need to get bulldog stern and mad and confident that our faith works and that God does what He said He'd do. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said, and He does what He says. And, you know, I'm sorry. I don't care how many times the enemy tries to put sickness on me. I'm not supposed to have it. Okay? I mean, you just need, you know, and so, but when things happen to you, it's easy then to just get passive, for lack of a better word. But you know, God says, whatever you believe in your heart, if you say it with your mouth, you'll have what you say. You know, when we take this word and apply it, it works. And what I'm seeing in a lot of Christians' lives is we kind of get the feeling that we're just here helpless and we're just kind of fumbling, bumbling through, and we're just hoping everything works out at the end, and we're just hoping it all turns out, and I'm hoping I get better, and I'm hoping this happens, and I'm hoping I get this, and I'm hoping that takes place in my marriage. And you know, but the truth is, Jesus gave us authority. In Matthew 28, He said, all the authority is given to me. What He's saying is, He's saying all the authority, we've talked for weeks about Adam losing that authority and the position it took put man in, and then Jesus coming back to be the second Adam and getting back all that Adam lost. He set the pattern in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 9, He sent the 12 out. He said, then He called the 12 disciples together and He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And then it says, He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Said here, power and authority. Maybe we need to think about the difference just a bit, but the power is the strength and the ability. Okay? But the authority is the permission to use that strength. Power and authority, you know how many know a police officer? His authority is his uniform, his badge. That's his authority. But the real power behind that authority is at 44 Magnum, that if you trespass there, we're going to take care of this because I got the power to back up my authority. Does that make sense? Jesus said, you go into the world, but before you go into the world, you go to Jerusalem and you wait till you be endued with power from on high, because I'm sending somebody to live in you. And that word power there said you'll have power to be a witness for me. That word power, we know most of us, is dunamis, and it's the word, the root word that we get dynamite from. And I'm telling you, he sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to live in me, and that's his power. That's the power that he spoke. That's the power that he brought this whole world into existence with. That's the power that when he spoke, something happened. And he said, now, Hank, he said, whatever you touch, I'll prosper. I like what Steve Jones says. You know, you're not going to be prosperous. You're not going to find a job. You're not going to be finding the things God has for you if all you're doing is laying on a couch and eating potato chips. Now, I didn't get that exactly right, Steve, I need to touch something. And he gave the 12 a power, authority and power. And then in Luke 10, he sent 70 out. I mean, that worked so good that now he sent 70 out. And it says that he sent them out to heal the sick, And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Heal the sick and tell them about me. Tell them about the kingdom. Heal the sick and tell them. I'm telling you, see, he gave them power and authority. I love it when they came back. I love what they said. They came back and they were all excited, and they said the 70 returned with joy. I'm telling you what, some of you need some joy. Let God start doing something in your life. Let him start using you to do something big. You'll get the joy. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But he said the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, hey, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, who did he send? Did Jesus go out and do it? No, he sent the 70 out. What happened when they went out in his name? The same thing happened that is if he would have went out and done it. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that, Hank. Well, I know that's why it won't happen in your life, because you don't believe it. Okay? But I want to ask you something. They went out and all the miraculous things that happened, all the signs and wonders, all the people that were healed, all the things that happened. You know what? None of those things would have happened if they wouldn't have went out. Because they went out, Jesus was able to expand himself. He was able to multiply himself. Jesus couldn't have went to all those places, so he sent them out. Well, when he got ready to leave, he sent the 120 plus us. He sent the 120 and everyone after him who would believe on him. I love it. Matthew 28:18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That little phrase, go ye, now, if we were to say it nowadays in English, we would say, you go. You go. But that little phrase, go ye, means to lead over, to carry over, to transfer, to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey. Listen to this. We are to carry on the journey that Jesus started. When we got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, He transferred His mission to us. He transferred His power and authority to us. We are to go on this journey, to carry this journey. I mean, He said, if you believe in Me, you'll be able to do the things that I do. And not only that, you'll be able to do greater things than that. If you believe in Me, Hank, you'll be able to do the things that I've done. How many know that'd just be a pretty good deal? Oh, but you're going to do greater things. I want to do some things through you that nobody's seen yet. I want to do something through you. I want to expose myself. I want to show My kingdom through you like I've never been able to show anybody. I want to do some things through you that I haven't got to do yet. Praying the other day, and I said, Lord, how come You're waiting so long to get back? Huh? I mean, how many know some days you just wish You'd go ahead and come today? I said, Lord, how come You're waiting so long to come back? And I heard a little voice inside of me say, I haven't got to do everything I want to do yet. And I can only do it through My body. What I want us to begin just to see today is that He's given us authority. You see, we don't have to take everything that happens to us with a grain of salt. We don't have to try to explain it away and reason why this didn't happen. I've come to a conclusion. If I see a promise in here and I stand and believe that promise, and it doesn't come to pass in my life, it's not God's fault. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not on His end that something's messed up. Huh? You know, most Christians won't admit that. I mean, you talk to somebody and they're trying to be healed, and you say, well, come on now, we got to just use our faith. And they get real defensive. I've got faith. I use my faith. I got faith. You know, well, okay, then get well then. Huh? Now I'm like everybody else. I sometimes it seems like my answer gets delayed. But I don't have to just sit and take everything. I've been given some authority. You've been given some authority. And so what the enemy will do is he'll come into my thinking just like he came into Eve's thinking, and he'll go, well, yeah, but you know how that feels. I mean, you know, everybody else was getting it, so you'll probably get it too. And that's okay, because I'll go through this and I'll be stronger at the end than I was at the beginning, and God will use this to do something. Hey, listen, God used a donkey one time, but we don't have to be one. I guarantee you everything you go through, you learn something. Everything I go through, I learn something. And most of the time I don't want to go through that again. We think that somehow by God being mean or by God punishing or by God putting pain on us or something, that's how He teaches us. That's baloney. We got some school teachers and retired school teachers in the crowd. If that's what it takes for children to learn, why are we spending billions of dollars in our school system? Let's just get a school bus, and when they get on the school bus, let's stand there with a ping pong hammer, and when they get on the bus, let's just hit them in the head with the hammer. If pain's going to teach you something, why are we wasting all our time? Silly. We just get to thinking. And I'm going to quit here in a minute. You don't believe that, but I won't quit early for you today. But See, stuff that it sounds logical. I mean, it seems logical. It feels logical. See, that's the problem when we get to hearing with our intellect, our soul. We get to hearing with our body, our feelings. We get to letting our emotions and our feelings and stuff mix in with the Word. And it waters down. But when our spirit gets the Word, something happens in our life. See, we're not like King Midas. This isn't just we wish for something. No, it's we believe something and we fight for it. Amen. We fight for it. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, fight! Fight! Just had to wake y'all up back there. Fight the fight of faith. Well, it's easier for me just to go, well, that didn't work. Well, I guess God didn't want me to have that. Huh? I've been believing for something for 3 months now and was supposed to have been here in 2 weeks. And it's still not here. It's somewhere. I just don't know where, Randy, but it's somewhere, you know, And it almost got here, and then it got caught in a hailstorm in Kansas City. And, you know, and so the thought comes, well, maybe, and you don't know how many people that I've had tell me, well, maybe God doesn't want you to have that. And I started agreeing for a while. No wonder that probably took an extra month in there because I started kind of agreeing with it. I didn't just come out and agree with it, but I just kind of, you know, that makes sense. I said, no, man, hold it. I said, that's a lie. God doesn't care if I have that, and He doesn't care if I have things as long as they don't have me, and He wants to bless me, and He wants to do good things in my life, and that's a lie, and I'm not going to believe that way. And you know what? Now, supposedly, I got two of them coming. I'm talking about a vehicle, but now I got two coming from two different directions, and I go, well, I don't need two, so I called Randy. I said, Randy, you want one of them? And I don't know, you might get yours before I get mine. I don't know, but I just wanted to lighten it up a little bit, okay? And this isn't just about getting stuff. This is about walking with a confidence in your Lord and Savior. This is about walking with a confidence in your God. This is about walking and not letting the enemy, hey, he's going to be there. Let me close with this verse. This is becoming my favorite verse in the Bible, I think. John 16:33. He says, I have told you these things. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Now listen, anytime God tries to do something in your life, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be something to try to talk you out of it. I like it where he says, take courage, be confident, be certain, and be undaunted. I love that word, undaunted. It means not afraid to continue doing something even though there are problems, dangers, and difficulty. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying the enemy's getting away with too much in your life and in my life. And I don't care where you're at today. I don't know what you're going through. And somebody says, well, how come it's not working? Well, it's not working because you're not working it. And I don't care what area of your life it's in. You know, we got a God that'll back up what He said. He said, my words, he said, they'll perform what I sent them to do. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we just get this passive thinking, well, I just hope this happens, and God, I'm just believing that this will change, and I'm just believing. Well, why don't you touch something? Why don't you touch something? I'll close with this story, and I've used it before, but a friend of mine, when I had a church in Paragould, Arkansas, and he was one of the first guys to be in the church. Matter of fact, he had been playing music in the bar 2 weeks before I got there, and he got saved, and so I just made him a deacon, and I didn't know you had to have all the qualifications and all the stuff, and anyway, I got to preaching on prosperity, and you know how preachers do. We get up here and we preach on stuff that we don't even have, and you know, we hear somebody preach a sermon, and it sounds good, so we preach it, and then you know, we're trying to get on to you and tell you to get it, and we don't even have it. You know how it goes. We've been putting up with that a lot in our life. And so I'm preaching on prosperity, and I never really had none, but, you know, it sounded good. And he come in one morning, and this guy drove trucks, and he bought him an old striping machine, and at nighttime he'd stripe parking lots. He come in, I shook his hand. Man, it was like you grabbed a handful of gravel there when I shook his hand. And I said, John, what in the world? He turned them old hands over, and they had big old calluses and had that old yellow striping paint all in those calluses, man. He looked over and he said, preacher, that prosperity is hard work. Well, I don't believe you just have to focus and on the work and the hard work, but you know what? I believe we've been sold a bill of goods when we think we just don't have to do nothing. You know, even people that got healed, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. They had to do something. They had to have some corresponding action. You know, even when he broke the fish and the bread, he said, here, you take these and get the people in groups and you tear it up. And he just handed them a piece and they tore it up, and they handed it to people and they tore a piece and handed it. And see, touching something. See, I tell you what the kingdom of God needs. Kingdom of God just needs some of us to touch something. And all my point today was is to try to get us to start walking with a confidence. With a confidence. Hold it. God said everything I touch is blessed. He said every area of my life is blessed. He's going to bless the ground. He's going to bless. He delights in prospering me. He's given me the ability to get well. He said he's going to bless me. And that's the start. We just walk with a confidence. Oral Roberts made a ministry with a saying. He said, something good is going to happen to you. Well, what was that all about? If you start believing something good's going to happen to you, you'll start seeing it when it happens. I'm finding out good things happen to me and I don't even see them because I'm not believing them. And they happen and they just get on by and I didn't even know. And I look back and go, oh, well, that was you blessing me, God. I just want you to walk with a confidence. What your hand touches, you got His favor in your life. You got His favor because of what Jesus did, not because of what you do. And He loves you just like you are. And if you really enroll in the program, He won't leave you just like you are. He'll make you better. He'll make you better. So I don't care where you are in life, I hope you'll just begin to trust Him. So many of you here are saved. I hope you'll start trusting Him. I hope you start believing Him. I want to hear some reports. I've been hearing a few. Wasn't last Sunday something else? Somebody said, What did you speak on? I said, I didn't get to speak. I said, we just prayed for people and people got touched. You don't have to wait for somebody to speak to you this week. God's already spoken to you. Huh? I tell you what, if you sell cars, y'all sell 30 of them this week, man. Go for that, Leonard. Leonard sells cars at Fletcher if anybody needs a car. Commercial. I'm like Gary. I think if you'd take that picture off the card, you'd sell a lot more cars. Hey, I love you. I just want you to be blessed. If you're here today and you're saved, I want you to be blessed, and I want you to start believing God and walk with the confidence and know that you got a God that's for you and not against you. He's making you the head and not the tail. He's going to bless everything you touch this week, so why don't you start touching something? Why don't you start putting some effort into something? Why don't you get off the couch and lay the potato chips down and start doing something? It's amazing. He said every place, he told Abraham, he said every place your foot touches will be yours. And Abraham could have stood there for 40 years going, well now, every place my foot touches. No, he started stepping, baby. I think it's time for us to start stepping. You ready for God to do some things in your life? Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or you don't even know what that means. It's just a simple act of faith. Paul said if you'll confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. John said, hey, whosoever believes on Him will have everlasting life. So don't worry about straightening everything in your life up. Why don't you just worry about making Him your Lord, and then He'll help you straighten all that stuff up. Okay? So if you're here today, and you've never asked Him into your heart, what you need to do before you leave here, we're going to sing a song and stand up, but what you need to do before you leave here, you just need to by faith receive the grace that He's given. You just by faith say, hey, I don't know what all this means, Lord, but I ask You to come into my heart and be my Lord. I want to live my life for You. I can't do it unless You help me. So I'm asking You to help me. And if you do that and mean it, He'll come in. Something will happen. Anybody here a witness to that? Anybody here know that'll happen? Everybody stand. Let's sing a song.